as we love ourselves, Lord God. So we just want to honor you today as we humbly stand before you. We will ask you to help us, Lord God, to reach out to those in need, Lord God. Not be like those that are out for themselves, Lord God, and that have that whole mindset of, what about me? But help us reverse that, Lord God, and say, what about them? Father, we honor you, we praise you, we glorify you today, Lord. We ask that you have your way in this house today, Lord God, like never before, Lord God. I ask, Heavenly Father, that you touch Reverend Young, Lord God, as he brings a message today, Lord God. Let him feel the Holy Spirit. Use him in a mighty way, Lord God. And to you be all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Hallelujah.
Good morning, church. God bless it to each and every one of you this morning. We had quite a week this week, huh? With the weather and everything, and like I say, coming over to autumn, coming over to Knoll. And one thing I thought about driving over that in that weather is how many times, if it was work, a work day, would that have been a problem for me? You know, it's funny how on Sunday, going to church, it can become a problem. But when it comes to going to work every day, we get up there and go and ain't thinking about it. We don't even think it's an option because we know we got to get there to get paid, don't we? But to me, I always used to tell people, if we're doing that and expecting man to pay us, what about God? Wouldn't we rather come to church and go through the rain and everything, come to church? Because God is the ultimate who gives us our payment, isn't he? He's the ultimate one that rewards us for being able to do the stuff we do. And so I know that's the reason Reverend T.A. and Ron and myself come, because we know we're getting blessed. This is a blessing to be here. Sister Yvette, all of y'all came. Y'all know Sunday is the day to come and show God your thanks for the blessing he's blessed you with. So ain't no problem with coming out in this weather, is it? Oh, no, it shouldn't be. I mean, we don't have a problem. Well, I'm going to talk from you this morning about the title of my text is, or the sermon is, Do We Believe? Do we believe? Now, all of us who are saved should be able to answer that question. Yes, I believe. But do we really believe? And we're going to compare our belief with the father of faith, Abraham. And our scripture comes this morning from Genesis, the 15th chapter, and verses 1 to 21. And before I begin, let me take a moment of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, hide me behind the cross. Let your Spirit, Holy Spirit, come and overtake me, Lord God, that the words that come from me are not of me, but being coming from you. I'm just your vessel, Lord God, that will speak words that will help encourage us in today's troubling times and times of we, Lord God, don't know what's going on, and Lord God, we've got to keep ourselves encouraged, and Lord God, be in position to encourage others who, Lord God, we look around, we see so many situations, Lord God, like Minister Ron said, homelessness, and Lord God, the just myriad and myriad of problems of hatred, and Lord God, of just the unrighteousness that way we look upon one another, Lord God. Killings and shootings and jobs and schools, Lord God, and so many other things, Lord God, that we just have to trust you for it, Lord God, to go on and live through it, knowing that you're going to bring us through. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Do we believe? Do we believe? Stop and think about that for a moment. I know I've been meditating on this for a couple of weeks now. Because when I look around and I talk to people, I have to wonder, do we believe? Even some Christians, you know, you talk to, and the way they, the thoughts and the way they come about is, do they believe? One of the reasons I have to wonder, because we think we got to solve things. Our biggest problem is we don't want to wait for God to do what only God can do. We figure we can give God some help. And so with that in mind, let's read about Abraham's belief. It says, Genesis 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. But Abram said, Lord God, what would you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? Then Abram said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who shall come from your own body shall be your heir. Then he brought him outside and said, look now toward the heaven, and count the stars if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And here's one of the key verses. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Then he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to inherit. And he said, Lord God, how shall I know that I will inherit it? So he said to him, bring me a 3-year-old heifer, a 3-year-old female goat, a 3-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. Then he brought all these to him and cut them in two down the middle and placed each piece opposite each the other. But he did not cut the birds in two. And when the vultures came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. Now when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram. And behold, horror and great darkness fell upon him. Then he said to Abram, know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, and will serve them, and they will afflict them 400 years. And also the nation whom they serve I will judge. Afterward they shall come out with great possessions. Now as for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried at a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall return here, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. And it came to pass when the sun went down and it was dark, that behold, there appeared a smoking oven, and a burning torch that passed between those pieces. On the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your descendants, I have given this land from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates. The Kenizzites, the Kadmonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaim, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgazites, and the Jebusites. And when I ask the question, do we believe? I go back to verse 6, which says, and he believed in the Lord, and it accounted to him for righteousness. He believed in the Lord. It states quite plainly that he believed in the Lord. But what is Abraham's belief about? What did we talk about when he said he believed in the Lord? What is it that he's saying when he says he believed in the Lord? When we read that, do we really comprehend the message that is being conveyed here? Or we just take it for granted? Abraham believed in the Lord. Okay. I believe in the Lord. Yeah. But here you might say is, oh boy, I went too far. I got in a hurry here. First of all, let's begin at the beginning of Abraham's belief. And it has to do with his calling. Abraham is in a land, I guess, of non-believers. He's with his father in Ur of Chaldea. He's with a whole different group of people who did evidently don't believe in God. Now, the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. No, how many of y'all, Sister Yvette, you here? Or Brother Rod, Brother T.A. is here.
Leave everything.
And suddenly God tells him, E.A., T.A., leave everything, our family, our children, everything, and move over here to this land, maybe in Africa, but that I'm going to give you as an inheritance. Leave everything behind. just take what you got and come to this land I'm going to give you. Just take up and go. That's what made it remarkable about Abraham. God, ain't nobody, he can't go and consult nobody. See, what do we do if God speaks to us? We're going to go and talk to somebody about it, right? So we know what you look at this situation.
Right.
And Abraham simply hears God say, get up out of your country, from your family house, to the land I will show you. He didn't even tell him where he's going to go. He just says, go.
Right.
It says, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. You know, God said, you're nobody. You're nobody, yet I'm going to make you a great nation.
Right.
I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing.
Wow.
This is what Abraham
awesome.
Got to believe.
Awesome.
And he says, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. What did you see that? He said, in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. He's putting upon him a huge burden. This is a huge burden. This, can you imagine how you feel if suddenly you were suddenly told that, guess what? You're in charge now. You're in charge, and what you do is going to affect the rest of the mankind.
Wow.
That's basically saying, you have been called to come with me, become a great nation. I'm going to bless you, and I'll bless those that bless you, and I'm going to curse those who curse you. And that's so you can be a blessing to the rest of the world. This is what Abraham's belief has to be at the beginning. Whoo, that blows my mind every time I think about it, that God had called him for that. And Abraham didn't hesitate not one bit. He simply got up and go. I know T.A. was talking about us having faith to believe God for healing. How many of us say, yeah, I can, but what about before you come down with the illness, you got to step out in faith on God? What if God calls you to do something that beyond your ability to comprehend? See, one of the things we'll understand, God is beyond our understanding. He thinks beyond what we even begin. And so here God is telling Abraham to do something that's never been done before. This is the beginning of faith walk with God. He's the forerunner. This is what Abraham believed in. He's a forerunner of a blessing. Lord have mercy. He's believing that. Okay. And it says Abraham believed God. Yeah, it says Abraham believed God. But again, we got to look at what he believed God about. I've just talked about it. He got to go from your country, your people, and your father's household. How many of y'all, I know some of you, when you look at where you came from, how many of y'all were born here? How many of y'all came from someplace else? Okay, Sister Sarah, you lived here and you ain't had to. Suppose God says, Sarah, I don't want you no more. I want you to move over here to the East Coast. Would you go? I mean, just suddenly, because of job opportunity, you have suddenly got to leave here. You were born here, leave family and friends, suddenly got to pick up and go back to New York, Chicago, or one of them places. I mean, literally that. And so all of us who are here, generally came from the Midwest, you know. And generally we came because why? We heard opportunities. What's here? We came for a better opportunity. We came for an improvement of our life. We ain't heard God call us to come here to do something for him. We just knew that we wanted to come someplace better. So this is sort of Abraham saying, you know what? God said, I got something better for you. I'm asking you to get up and leave your home because I got something better. And you don't know what that better is. All you know is God said, I got something better than what you got right here. And again, the problem is, when we left, how many of y'all knew where you were going when you left? You know you was coming to, T.A. knew here. How many of y'all left when you left back there to come to California? You knew where you was going. You did? I know I've heard some of y'all testimony. Y'all knew y'all just come someplace in California. You know, you've never been here. I know when I decided to come to California, I had a brother here, and I kind of knew this. It was Oakland, California, but I didn't know nothing about Oakland, California. And so when I got here, it was a shock to me. I'd never lived in a city and the stuff that was going on. So, you know, at least I got to go and I'm just going to sort of go out there on a fuzzy trail going someplace and I don't know what I got to take with me, how much I got to have, the preparation, everything. I just got to go. This is what God tells him, to leave, to get up and go. great nation. How many of y'all think of being, having something great, doing something great? How many of y'all thought about it, doing something great? Still do? You know, greatness, you know, we love to think of doing something great, right? You know, I mean, doing something great, that's part of our character, that's part of our nature. I mean, most of us want to do something great. A lot of us. Some of you say, well, no, I don't want to because it's too much work, or I don't want to do. But he's, God guaranteeing him, he's going to be a great nation. And God, how many of y'all feel, well, I want to be blessed by God? Definitely. How many of y'all feel, but see, this, Abraham's got a guarantee about being blessed. And see, a lot of us have trouble. Is God going to bless me? Will God bless me? God, Abraham got a guarantee. Mm-hmm. A guarantee of blessing. This is what Abraham believed. A guaranteed blessing. How many of y'all believe y'all got a guaranteed blessing from God? How many of y'all believe you got a guaranteed blessing? What, how many of y'all don't raise your hand? Why is it that you don't believe you got a guaranteed blessing? What stops you at believing that? Because don't you know what? You're descendants of Abraham. You have been adopted into the family of faith. And when you've been adopted into the family of faith, you get that guarantee of blessing that Abraham had. See, that's what we don't get. That's why I say, what do you believe? Because do you believe that you got a guaranteed blessing? We should believe that because Abraham believed it. And if he's the father of faith and we're his children, we're the children, we get inherited under that blessing of faith. See, a lot of times say, "What? I have trouble believing I'm going to be something great." But see, you know, part of being a child of God is about being something great. See, we think of greatness the way the world thinks of greatness. But don't you know, when you die and go to heaven, you're going to hear the greatest thing you can ever hear. You're going to hear God say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over what I gave you. Welcome in." And you're going to receive a crown. Don't you know how great that's going to be? How great that's going to be. So again, Abraham is setting us up to understand what we should be believing about our walk now. Right. We're walking in Abraham's footsteps. Amen. Again, Abraham said, God says, "Abraham, you will be a blessing." How many of y'all are blessings to people? You know, you should feel that anytime you can do some of the things you do, you're being a blessing. Sometimes it ain't nothing but to say an encouraging word to someone, ain't it? Sometimes it's nothing but looking out there and seeing that young boy or girl going astray and say, "Come here, I got to talk to you, young person. I need to sit down and talk to you. I need to put some oomph into you." You are being a blessing. God said, we are blessings. We are part of Abraham's lineage. We're part of Abraham's heritage. And God says, "I will bless those that bless you." How many of y'all know that those who bless you, they get blessed? Look at that. Look at that. Look at that. They play a blessing to us. And we think we got to play it back to them. No, we should play it forward. But God's going to take a prayer of blessing them. And how many of y'all say, "I don't want nothing. I don't want you to give me nothing back. I just feel like I want to bless you. I want to bless you that then God will bless me." We got to understand. We will be a blessing. And really, look how many times, like, say, Mother's Day. How many of y'all get Mother's Day gifts from people you've poured in your life into? Father's Day's gift. All those different things that people bless you with. because you've been a blessing. And you didn't even know you was doing being a blessing a lot of times. You were just being a blessing. But they honor you because you've been a blessing. Oh, Lord, have mercy. This is the one that people don't understand. Who curses you, he whoever curses you, I will curse. And see, that's, y'all heard that vengeance is mine, said the Lord, I will repay. That's basically God's saying. We get all caught up with how we're going to deal with those unrighteous folks that mess with us. You got to stop doing that. Don't take care of God. God takes care of that. God said, I will curse those who curse you. Those who mess with his people, ooh, they messed up. How many of y'all been in a position where some folks mess with you, and then you saw how God handled it? You took your hands off and said, Lord, I'm taking my hands off. I want you. No, like I say, T.A. was talking about how at one time, you know, you got the urge to handle things yourself, and you're ready to, But the God, Spirit of God said, this won't quite let you go there. Then you sit back and look what God does, and you're glad you didn't handle the stuff yourself, because God curse those who curse you. And see, all peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. Don't you know that we have the good news now? The gospel. That's a blessing to the world. And we have this blessing to take to the world. But through us, all the people of the world will be blessed, because we have this one thing that nobody else has, that message of God's love for man. See, I recently talked to a young man. He said he's one of my co-workers. He's a sheik. And I said, well, what's a sheik faith all about? And he says, well, it's basically, you know, doing good and da-da-da-da and da-da-da. And, you know, I said, you know what? Let me tell you about my faith. The good thing about my faith is not about doing good, but it's about love. It's about me learning how to really love you, learning how to love that God loves me, because God loves me. I can love you, and I can't hold no hatred against you. You got your beliefs. I can't get upset with you about your beliefs. I mean, I'm not going to push you down and put in, but again, I had the blessing of knowing that I got eternal life. I got the blessing of knowing that God loves me. And I just want to share that blessing with you.
Right, right.
Ooh, don't y'all see what we have? We have all this. And Abraham believed God for it. And because he believed God, look what has happened to the world today. Us being in this place is manifestation of that blessing of that scripture. Now, Abraham's belief had to be developed. He believed God, but there were some steps into solidifying that belief. See, one of the things we don't understand is our faith has to be solidified. And the way we get solidified in our faith is we got to do some steps. We got to go through some things. And one of the first steps Abraham had was the difficulty of separating from his family and friends. You know, when you get saved, you generally got some family and friends that you've been so close to, right? But what happens when you get saved and you're dealing with unsaved folks? There's this separation. And it ain't, you don't have to do it, force yourself to. It just happens because you're walking in a different light. You're in a different sphere. And they sort of see that light. They feel uncomfortable because you're living in righteous and everything. Your mind changes everything. And suddenly they say, I don't feel comfortable being around you. I do not feel comfortable being around you. And you have to learn to let them go. You learn to let them go because, again, you're being separated and being called by God to another. Remember, we're going to a different land. We going toward heaven. We're on a different journey than they are. So we getting separated from them. And one of the things that Abraham had to deal with was famine. And this famine represents the lack of having this world's material things. You know, he had to get, you know, go through some suffering materially. And a lot of us will have to go through some suffering materially. Suddenly, he had to look up and find out that he's without food. There's famine. And so he doesn't know about God being a provider yet. He didn't know. So what he said, you know, it's a famine. I need to flee to Egypt because I hear they got food down there. So he heads off down to Egypt because of the famine. These are footsteps he has to go through. So he's got to make up his own mind he's going to handle it himself, his problem. He's got a problem. We all do. We all encounter problems in our spiritual walk as Christians. And because we're new in Christ, we still rely upon our old way of doing things. The new way hasn't taken effect yet that we pray about and ask God to take care of the problem. We immediately think of it. And so when he travels to Egypt, he finds out he got a problem. Getting the famine wasn't a problem. Now he's got the problem with his wife. He's got a beautiful wife. And he's worried that he's going to have to die because they don't want his wife.
That's right.
So what does he do? He do what our default system is. I'm going to lie about it. Again, this is who we are. This is Abraham on the way to his solidification of his belief system, because his belief system hasn't been solidified enough that he can tell the truth to believe God's gonna protect him. So he says, hey, it works for me. And he tells Sarah to fall in line. She does that. But anyway, thank God he said, no, I told you I was gonna bless you. So he gets him out of that situation. And the next situation he encounters is one of the big situations I'm going to talk about is having to go back and fight a battle, rescuing Lot. You know, one of the things about this battle and fighting Lot is he's going against all these kings. There's four kings and everything, and they didn't took everything and everything, but somehow he feels confident enough with the little bit he has and the God he knows that he can go out back and fight that battle, and he wins. He wins. And see, again, the development of our belief system is going through these battles where God shows us that he can give us victory. A lot of times we don't want to fight a battle because we're afraid that we won't get victory. But again, he's got to learn to fight battles so that God can show us how we win the real fight. And lastly, I'm going to talk about the footsteps that bring Aaron to his belief in verse chapter 15, verse 6, where it says, he believed God. Is Abraham, after he says, believe God, then he says, God believe you gave me a son. So him and Sarah has to hook up. They do what we did. Well, I can't have no children. Having surrogacy, that's not nothing new. They started that back in the day. They think having a surrogate mother and all this stuff is something new. They started it back then, and so we find that Abraham does something that God didn't tell him,
right,
to produce an Ishmael through the flesh. Again, this is a good thing he learns out that I told you I was going to give you a son.
Right.
And he said, okay, I believe you, God. But then they look at the one of the most tremendous things that they had to learn. It's that Abram is 75 years old. Sarah is 65. They ain't had no kids. So they figured it ain't happening with Sarah. And ain't happening. So that's when they went and had Ishmael through Hagar, a younger woman. They said, well, that worked. But then God shows up and lets them know, you messed up. Sarah knows right away she's messed up. She messed up because suddenly Hagar go around with an attitude about, I am it, and you ain't nothing because you can't have a child. So, again, these are the footsteps that Abraham, okay, these are the footsteps that Abraham has to go through to develop this belief system in God. So each of us, in our own way, going to have to go through some steps of the challenge and solidify our belief. So the question is, what do you believe? Do you believe, or is your faith hasn't been solidified enough? You haven't been through enough to get you to the point where, Sister Irene, you're what you call a babe in Christ. You're what we call a baby in Christ. Yes, yes. You just got saved and everything. So you're on a journey of becoming more mature, and you're going to encounter maybe some of these things. And it's good to know these things so you won't be caught off guard by them. See, all of us depends on where we are with the Lord. I've had to go through a lot of these things because, like, I know I've been through separation from family and friends early on. Because they think you're strange. They think you're different. And so you have got to learn to go through that. Okay, I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to save the rest of this for my... Yeah, I'm save this for the second half. Second half. But again, it's good for us to take a peek at what do we believe. What do we believe? And once we say we believe it, we got to walk in it. And only what we know we can walk in it and really do is go through these steps. So go back and check your steps. Go back and recheck the footsteps you've had to go through. The things that God, like Sarah says, I went through a really one is my cancer. That's a step. That's a serious step of faith to believe God can heal her. Woo! And so each of us in our own way had those footsteps. And those things we're supposed to be praising God for. Those things we're supposed to give our testimony to others for. So that they too can come to believe in God. So I just want to challenge y'all. Think about your faith and belief in the sense that, yeah,